Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is so good. I don't deserve anything that I have, but I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm even thankful for my children. He don't believe me. No, that's a given. I thought everybody knew that. Anyway, I am thankful for so many blessings. I know a lot of times we do take our children for granted on the mission field. And some people might think that that's the reason not to go, because you have children. And of course, we went without children. They just sort of popped up on the way. And I realize it might be more difficult to go if you have small children. That might be more of an obstacle to overcome. But we do take them for granted. I know we do, because when Debbie and I had small children, we have Bible studies during the week. And many times, if we went together, we just take the kids along with us.
Amen.
And there they are, asleep on the floor, on the couch, wherever there was a spot, you know. Sometimes still late at night. And Debbie didn't stay at home because she had to take care of the kids. And if we had to go, we went. And the kid went along, and they actually survived somewhat. But they had a firsthand look at what the mission field really is, and they learned that people are important.
Amen.
Not just family. Family is important. I love my family, and I thank God for them. But there are other things that are also important. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Even during the Bible project, our kids even were put on the back burner quite often. Many, many times I had to say, no, I can't. I have to take care of this, you know. And so that Debbie and the kids all paid a price for it. But Hebrews 13 and verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Be not forgetful. You know, one reason we have these conferences every year is to remind ourselves. I know that probably most of the time nothing astounding is preached from this place during the mission conference. I mean, there may be a new thought once in a while, but you know, it's a lot of time it's just repeating the same important points, the same important reasons, and reminding us of things that we have a tendency to forget. And if you look in very quickly in the book of 1 Peter, it's actually 2 Peter, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 12, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." The next time you hear something that has already been preached, instead of getting mad, remember, God said, if we don't remind each other of these things, we're being negligent.
Right.
Now, maybe you haven't forgotten, but I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are. I don't know any of your hearts. And so, maybe just one of you has forgotten some things tonight. Maybe half of you. I don't know. But God says they would be negligent on our part not to remind each other of these things, even though we know them.
That's right.
So, maybe there'll be nothing new tonight for most of us. But it says, be not forgetful. He repeats it in verse 13. "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So, we need to be reminded of things in order to be stirred up. Sometimes It's not the fact that we never knew these things, but they become maybe just so rote to us, so part of our lives that we just kind of go along without really paying attention to what's going on, and we don't really put our whole heart into it. And he says we need to be stirred up. And then he says in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." And so, even after some of us are gone, those of you who stay need to be reminded of these things and remind each other of these things. And may God allow us to keep these things going until He comes back. Because a lot of churches don't do it anymore. Prayer meetings, mission conferences, revivals. Oh no, concerts, games, fun, entertainment, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but prayer meetings? And you know, when they have them, one prayer, you know, they take all the requests and then one short prayer and then that's it. And they have a mission conference and it's one day and a revival maybe 2 or 3 days. There are some things that I want to remind us all tonight. And going back to our text, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For some, thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And I thought about the time when Abraham entertained some angels or some unknown people. I don't know exactly who they were. I think God was among that group of three people, but I'm not sure if it was the Trinity or if it was God and two angels, or I don't know what it was, but he entertained somebody. He didn't know who. He entertained them and he got something from God. Amen. Now, the first part of that meeting that he had with those unknown people, unknown beings, he heard that Sarah is going to have a baby. And that's great news, right? I mean, if you haven't had a child and all in so many years and you're barren and all of a sudden you hear you're going to have a baby, wow, that would be exciting news. And that's a blessing of God. Thank God for children. But then the second part of that, he hears something that's not so cheerful. He tells them about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says he's going to destroy these two cities because of their wickedness. It led me to think about priorities. We shouldn't be forgetting the priorities. Thank God for children. Thank God for grandchildren. Thank God for all the blessings. Amen. But you know what? There are some priorities that we shouldn't be forgetting. And look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There are some things more important than others. The souls of men is important. The souls of men are more important than anything else that we have. Anything else you can do. And of course, we can't all be preaching the gospel 24/7. And none of us do. We have a family. We have a job. We have lives. We have things that we have to take care of. But we should not forget the priorities. God said the souls of men are important. Jesus said, interestingly enough, he said a man is better than a sheep. Some of you may be shocked at that one. Because your dog is more important than souls of men, maybe. Or more important than who knows what. But you know what? A sheep isn't that important in God's eyes. It's just a sheep, but a soul of man. Now that's something that really ought to be your priority.
Amen.
The souls of your children should be your priority.
Amen.
Not if they have the best clothes in the world. Not if they have the finest video game or computer game or smartphone. The souls of your children ought to be your priority today.
Amen.
We live in an era where people are more interested in their children having the latest fad and the latest whatever, being popular, being the most educated in the best schools. Okay, that's great. But the soul? Shouldn't that be number one priority in your family about your children, not what school they're in? I think so. Jesus said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But if you'll read in the book of Jude, somebody ever tells you that he just destroyed those cities with fire and that was all there was to it, take them to this verse. Jude, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I think that most of us would agree that there's no eternal fire in the place where Sodom and Gomorrah stood. So this is almost something else. Those people are in hell today. They are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And God gave Abraham this vision. He said, look, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. That's great. But you know what? A lot of people are going to die. And they're going to die and be condemned forever. And we thank God for the blessings. But we don't forget souls of men dying all around us, all over the world. Jesus also gave the example of the man in Luke chapter 12. Look over there real quick. Luke chapter 12. He says in verse, I'll just read verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And this man was a wise man. He was actually a very smart businessman. And I don't think Jesus is criticizing him for his business skills. I mean, he had a good piece of land. The land brought forth good fruit. He was wise. He had people that took care of his place. He had a great harvest. He was very, very effective as a businessman. But he forgot about God completely.
Right.
He didn't think about eternity.
Yeah.
He didn't think about what happens after this life. All his efforts were concentrated on this life, on what will make him comfortable and have an easy life. He says, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, who doesn't like to have comforts? Who doesn't like to have, good food? Who doesn't like to have a nice yard and a nice place to go with your family or whatever? Yeah, that's all nice and great. As long as you keep your priorities right. As long as you remember there are souls of men all around you. And not forget that people are dying and going to hell every day. And you and I have the answer. We have the light.
Amen.
Let's not forget our priorities. And think about Jonah. Man. He sits down under that gourd to get some shade from the hot South Texas sun, right? You understand. When you go to a parking lot, you find the one shady spot, if it's still there, right? You park your car the right direction. But the worm comes up and eats the gourd, and he gets all angry because his gourd is all dried up. And he's already gotten mad because, you know, God saved the whole city of Nineveh. And God says, you're sorry for this gourd? You didn't even work to get this gourd grown. You didn't create this gourd. And you're all upset because the gourd dried up. And you're mad at me because I saved the people of Nineveh? Priorities. Nice to have a nice, pretty green lawn, isn't it? And when it doesn't rain for a month or two or three and it all turns brown, you get all depressed and all sad and all your money you spent to get it growing, all the fertilizer and all the water and all the tickets you find you got for watering on the wrong day. Oh, you're so angry. Hey, just keep things in perspective. How about souls of men?
Amen.
Dying and going to hell. Yes, there is a hell. Jesus talked about it. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with fire. Jesus mentioned it. Jude mentions it. Peter mentions it. Hey, it's true. If it's not true, just throw your Bible away. Either the Bible is true or it's not. Let's not forget what our priorities are. I think about the gospel. We can forget. And you forget the power of the gospel. Remember the day you got saved and how the gospel was just so amazing to you and how it just delivered you and opened your eyes? And remember how sometimes you get skeptical about the gospel sometimes? Oh, man, I don't know. I'm not sure it's worth it. Is it going to work? You know, maybe we need to tweak it somehow. And people are doing that all the time. There are churches today that 100 years ago were preaching the gospel just like we do. And today, there's no gospel at all. They're preaching, you know, be a good person and go to church and get baptized and give some money and do your best. And yet, 100 years ago, the same denominations, if you want to call them that, were preaching the gospel. And people forget about the power of the gospel. I think about in the Old Testament, and when I was thinking about being forgetful, isn't that what we see in the Old Testament time after time after time? We're no different. If they need to be reminded, we do too. You think about how Jonathan. Remember when Jonathan goes up with his armor bearer to a garrison of the Philistines? And it's just two of them, right? And he says, hey, let's try. You know, God can do it. He doesn't need a whole lot of people. He can give us victory with just, you know, a few. And so they go. And in a few, I can't remember how many it is there. It says maybe acres or whatever. They defeat 20 men. And the rest of them just take off, running for their lives. And then a couple chapters later, Goliath shows up. Now, Goliath was a big guy. I'll admit that. Most guys are big for me, but he was a big guy, right? But he wasn't he wasn't 25 feet tall, right? I mean, he may have been 9 feet tall, and that's pretty formidable for most of us, for me especially. But, you know, I've faced down some big guys. It's not the end of the world. And I'm not even a warrior, you know? These guys were warriors. And they get off by a 9-foot guy? I mean, come on, really? I hope our soldiers aren't that, you know, wimpy in our army. But Jonathan and his armor bearer defeated 20 guys. Here we have a whole army of Israelites, and they can't find one person who will go out to meet Goliath? Something tells me they forgot the power that God could give them. They forgot the victory that God could give them. And we forget too, don't we? We forget what God has done. The Galatians had that problem. Paul says, you received the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law. Why in the world are you going back to the law? The gospel is what saved you. The gospel gave you deliverance. The gospel freed you. And now you're going back to the law? What are you people doing? We don't need to keep the Sabbath to be saved. We don't need any more traditions or any more laws and ordinances to go to heaven. And yet that happens today. today in America. Churches teaching, yeah, you got to keep all these ordinances and trying to take us back to Judaism and all these things. What are you people thinking about? The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Not the ordinances, not the feasts, not the law, not the commandments.
That's right.
Not the traditions. He did run well. What happened to you people? They forgot. They forgot God's, the power of the gospel. Sometimes you forget because you just get, you get discouraged because nothing is happening. He says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. We shall reap if we faint not. And yet, just because you don't see results today, you forget that the gospel still has power. It might just take another time. It might just take some more watering, some more plowing, some more planting. Just don't give up. What the world needs is the gospel. We don't need more or better politicians to change this world. I mean, come on. I think we all have realized, even especially this time, there's not much difference. Politicians are politicians. No matter what they call themselves, they're just politicians. And we as a church don't need to be so concerned about, you know, politicians, but about getting the gospel out. It is the gospel that will change lives and change families and change neighborhoods and change cities and change countries. The gospel is the hope of this world. We shouldn't forget that. I think we forget God's protection. You know, usually it's the young soldiers that have all the guts to do the crazy things, right? They don't send older soldiers to do the crazy things because they don't want to go, right? Old soldiers don't volunteer for the difficult mission. It's the young ones that got, you know, they don't have the experience. They don't have the caution in their mind. They're just having, want to have a good time, and they think they can just take the whole world. And as we get older, we kind of forget that God is the one protecting us. Amen. And protecting our children. Amen. And protecting the missionaries.
Amen.
And sometimes you forget that that's how it's always been. I mean, when we were in Mexico, it wasn't like it is today. I'll admit that. I've been down there several times since it got worse, supposedly, according to the media. I haven't seen the bad stuff. Maybe I'm in the wrong places. But it wasn't, you know, without its dangers in Mexico when we were there. As far as preaching the gospel, I mean, we had people that were crazy. I mean, I had a bus one time try to run me down literally on the street when I was preaching the gospel. Now, God protected me. There's no doubt about it. But nothing has changed. We still are under God's protection. And if someone goes to mission field today, it's no different. And just because maybe the media makes it sound a whole lot worse, we still are under God's protection. We shouldn't forget that. And yet, that's what happened in the Old Testament. You think about Israel, when they left Egypt. Man, they get to that Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army. Oh! They're already despairing. Now what are we going to do? Why did we leave Egypt? You know, God delivers them. He opens the Red Sea. And they go across it. And the waters come back together when Pharaoh's army is in the middle of the sea. And takes off all the chariot wheels. And they all get drowned. And you think, wow. They got it made now. Just keep that in your vision, in your memory. And you'll never worry again. And yet it didn't happen that way. I mean, they're time after time. Oh, God, you abandoned us again with no hope. Now we're not going to make it. And when they get down to the promised land and they send those spies and the spies come back and say, yes, great, but oh, we're in trouble. Those guys are like giants and we're not going to make it. What are you talking about? You mean God, the God that protected you from the Egyptians, can't protect you this time? What in the world has changed? What changes? They forgot. and we forget. And we get timid over the years. And we see our young people going out to the streets and preaching, or young people maybe wanting to surrender the mission field. We think, oh, I don't know, it's kind of dangerous. Hey, I have good news for you. It was dangerous 20 years ago. It was dangerous 30 years ago. It was even more dangerous 100 years ago and 700 years ago. And people lost their lives to get the gospel out.
Right.
What makes us so timid today? You say, well, I can't take my gun with me. Poor baby. Get over it. I'm glad you can have a gun in this country. I think it's great. But you know what? I don't sweat that I can't have a gun on me in Poland. I live with it. I don't stay awake at night thinking, oh, where's my gun? I'd love to have a gun. I don't even think about it. It's not an issue. But I would dare say some people would say, no, I could not go to the mission field because I have to have my gun. My arsenal, more like it in Texas. No, not just a gun. I got to have all the guns. Come on. God has protected us. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and of course, we should be following Paul. He is our example when he said, follow me, be a follower of me as I am of Christ. And he says in verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the thing that shall befall me there. So it's a big question mark. He didn't have a vision. He didn't have a vision of God's protection. He didn't have a vision of him being strung up. He just didn't know what's going to happen. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, if the past is any indication of what the future is going to hold, it's not rosy. It's not a happy ending. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to be in prison. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to have persecution. I'm going to have problems. But none of these things move me.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Wow. None of these things move me. More than likely, it will be difficult. But these things don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. We're under God's protection. And that's the best place to be. And if God so sees it fit that He takes us out, what can we say? Who are we to complain against God?
Yeah, right.
Let's not forget it's God's protection. Let's not forget God's provision. Somebody mentioned, maybe even a couple of times, I think John mentioned about the feeding of the 5,000. And that's an amazing situation. It's astounding when you think about it. I mean, any politician would love to have that power, wouldn't they? Feed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and you got their vote. You know, it's great. But what's amazing about that situation is that it happened twice. And what's even more amazing is that when it happened the second time, they didn't remember the first time. How can you forget when somebody feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I mean, that's pretty unforgettable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they did. Look in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. It says, Matthew 14, 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And John says, I think he says, but what are these among so many? I mean, come on, give me a break, Jesus. What can we do with this? We can't even begin. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven, he blessed the break, gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled. And he took of the fragments, there remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, and there are how many baskets left over? 12 baskets, right? Wow. They had more left over than when they started. And that's an understatement, right? I mean, 12 baskets full, left over. And they all were full, John. They were all full. Where's John? He enjoyed that. They were all full. Well, look at chapter 15. Verse 32. Then Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, now this is not a repeat of the same story, okay? This is the next chapter, another situation. We're not going back in time. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And the disciples say unto him, no problem, Jesus. Just pick up that stone and do something. But they didn't say that, did they? They didn't say that. They said, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness so as to fill so great a multitude? They didn't say, okay, let's just find 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We got it made. They didn't say that. They said, we can't find enough bread to fill this, to feed this multitude. How can you forget so quickly? And we don't understand that. But God has the same question for us.
That's right.
How do we forget God's provision? Amen. From yesterday?
Amen.
And last month and last week?
Yep.
And last time we had a mission conference? And last time someone surrendered to the mission field? And the last time there was a special need? How do we forget so quickly? But we do. And we think, oh no, how could we do it? How can we support another missionary family or two? Or how can we do it again? There's no way. Now, you know, I can understand thinking that 35 years ago. You know, the first mission conference, wow. And the second one, well, let's not push it, you know. Let's not go overboard here. This may be our limit. But how many years? 42 years? 42 years?
Amen.
And I can say, I don't think I have missed a meal in 34 years. Why? God has provided.
Amen.
He has used you people.
That's right.
He has used you to support all these missionary families and even more. And at the same time, kept this building going. At the same time, supported your pastors. At the same time, remodeling and newspaper evangelism and many other things that have come up over the years. And yet sometimes we say, oh no, how's it going to happen? How are we going to do it? And I understand if, you know, you feel responsible. I know sometimes the pastors have thought, oh no, it's getting near the end of the month and wow, what are we going to do? What are we going to tell them, you know? But God has been faithful.
Amen.
Over the years.
Amen.
To provide when it did not seem possible.
Amen. Amen.
Let's not forget God's provision.
Amen.
Well, look what happened. In verse 34, he says, how many loaves have ye? And they said, Oh, guess what, Jesus? We have seven. We got it made now. We have more than last time. No, he said seven and a few little fishes. So verse 36, he took the seven loaves and the fishes, gave thanks, broke them, gave the disciples. The same thing happened again. Verse 37, they did all eat, were filled again. And they had leftovers again. But this time, only seven baskets full. How many people ate? Only 4,000 men this time. How's that work? What kind of economy is that? I mean, you had fewer people, more food, and less leftovers. Well, that just shows what lack of faith can do. You don't believe God, you limit God, and that's the fruit of it. And this thing might have happened had they said, Lord, we have seven loaves of bread and a few fish. Before we start, let's go out and find some more people to feed. We can do maybe twice as much this time. But no, their lack of faith showed up right here. There were fewer leftovers. We forget God's provision. The children of Israel forgot about the water from the rock, didn't they? The water that God gave them from the rock when Moses struck the rock, and then a little bit later, a similar situation, and they again despair. What are we going to do? I don't think anybody said, hey, let's go find a rock. Did they? Oh, no, it's all over. We're done. We're finished. No, let's go find a rock. No, they just doubted God again. They forgot His provision. God has been faithful. I don't know how. I don't think anybody has been able to explain it. How God has just done some amazing things. It's hard to describe. But you people here have been so generous over the years. And we are all very thankful for your sacrifices you make. But some of you may not understand how it works. You may think, no, we can't send any more missionaries. We've heard that over and over the years. But you know what? We don't worry about it anymore.
That's right.
We don't worry about it. We don't think, oh, if another missionary goes, there goes my offering. It's going to be cut, you know, by maybe one-tenth or who knows what. They're going to be dividing up some more. Hey, may God send more missionaries.
Amen.
I don't care where. Come to Poland if God calls you there. I'm not worried about it. God can, and God always has provided.
Amen.
Let's not forget that.
Right.
There's no limit to what God can do. And I think we forget God's providence. Sometimes people get all bent out of shape, get bitter against God. You know, if everybody that had called this church their home church, the best church they've ever been in, if all those people were here tonight, they wouldn't fit. And I haven't even been here from the beginning. I've been here pretty long. I've been here for 34, 35, 37 years, actually. So I've seen a lot of people come through these doors just as a missionary, just coming through once a year or twice a year. But if they were all here, man, we'd be busting. We wouldn't have room for them all.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, and some of them left just because they got bent out of shape. They got bitter. They got angry at God. God took away something from them. God didn't work things out like they wanted it to be worked out. Their dreams didn't work out like they wanted them to be worked out. Their plans got messed up. They weren't taken care of like they thought they should be taken care of. It says that we know that all things work together for good. And if you have enough faith to believe that God is doing something in your life, I believe this is the place to be.
Amen. Amen.
And I've been in a lot of churches since I was a very young boy. When I found this church, when I came here, I want him to stay. Because I knew that I'd hear the truth here. And it hurt many times. It wasn't always pleasant, and it didn't always make me feel good. But I knew it was what my heart needed.
Amen.
And I learned very quickly that, you know, sometimes you need to hear the tough stuff to grow up.
Amen.
To learn what's important. To learn what's really the issue. And I think that's what this comes all about, to remember what the issue is. It's not about having the best looking building and the best, you know, activities for all the young people and the best baseball field and the best basketball team and who knows. Well, no, that's not important.
Yeah.
It's souls of men that are important.
Amen.
And when God kind of messes up your plans, don't get all mad about it. Don't get angry about it. Just remember, all things work together for good.
Amen.
God is trying to teach you something. Let's not forget that. God has not changed.
Amen.
His priorities have not changed. Souls of men. The gospel has not changed to the power of God. His provision, His protection, they have not changed. He is the same God. So let's not forget what the issue really is. That's what this conference is all about. And let's remember, God is trying to do something in us to make us more useful for Him, to make us remember what eternity is all about. It's about souls of men pleasing God. Amen. God bless you.